length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me, whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTechStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Well, good morning and welcome to Saturday in the Studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau, and we are here to take your phone calls, your questions on your financial situation. 715-845-2155, the number to call. No question too big or too small that Merle won't take a crack at.
But needed.
Yes, indeed. How you doing, man?
I am doing great. It is here on, we're actually here live today, folks, here on this January 18th.
Yeah, that hasn't happened much lately, 14, has it?
It hasn't. Boy, it's just been terrible.
But we are here live today, and we are here to take your phone calls. Hey, I wanted to mention quickly this the situation with the hack of Target. And we're finding out now that the Target software hack was accomplished by a 17-year-old teenager from Russia. What were you doing when you were 17?
Trying to find beer and chasing girls, I think, somewhere.
Something tells me it wasn't bringing down the financial house of a major corporation.
You know, I have to say, you know, I was in high school, and I have to admit that, you know, I was friends with, and at one point in time was inside of the chess club, and my buddies were in math club, and I had friends that were in there, and I remember some of my friends in ninth grade, well, I guess we had a freshman, and in eighth grade going, Merle, look at this. This is so cool. I'm looking at the stuff. I'm like, okay, 10, high, you know, 20, go to 10, 30, you know, just looking at, you know, basic computer code going, what are you guys going to do with this crap? You know what I'm saying? This stuff. And, well,
see the future.
Well, one of my buddies from high school ended up becoming a chip designer for Cray Research. I mean, these guys are just doctorate, uber smart kind of guys, and I have to get up on Saturday morning and do a radio program. I mean, you know, here we are.
Here we are. Well, I guess let's talk a little bit about technology and how technology has changed investing, how it's changed the market in the years that you've been involved in it, because certainly we've seen many changes regarding the use of technology, good and bad. And I guess maybe talk a little bit about the good things that technology has brought to investing and maybe some not-so-good things like we're seeing now with some of this stuff.
You know, technology is – this kind of goes back to a whole different thing of economics in coming to this question. It just popped into my head now. So, folks, this is what's called winging it in the radio program, in the radio world. You know, there's so many people go and hire to Keynesian economics, which simply says that, you know, everything is supply and demand and everything is priced as such as supply and demand. And you can't do anything more about that than supply and demand. And then you get the other side of the economic world that says we have what's called a supply side economics, which simply means if you create it and if it's good, they will buy it and therefore having an expansive economy. Well, I think there's attributes to both that are correct, but I like the supply side of the world. I think that if you have a product that is so good that it changes the world and does different sort of things, it changes the world and changes how we do things, that it will actually expand the economy and expand growth to come up. Now, we think about that, Tom, and we go back and we think, during our lifetimes, things that our kids do not know, and this pops up the electronics, that we're familiar with. Game night when you were a kid meant what?
Monopoly, something like that, a board game.
Yeah, we had a board game. Yeah. We might have actually learned how to play chess using the actual pieces. Mm-hmm. If we actually learned how to play chess, or we pulled out a deck of cards, or
right.
God forbid, we go run around the yard and hide and seek and kick a can and this whole bit. You know, I remember all that stuff. Yes, folks, I actually did run at one point in time in my life. Mm. Yeah, so we did that stuff. And so what do the kids think today if it's game night? It's we sit in front of a
Madden
TV screen.
Or Call of Duty or, yeah.
You bet. And let's take a look at what they're playing. They're looking at a game, folks, and the game that's playing the their video games has more computing power than the original computers that were running NASA when we were sending men to the moon. More power, more speed by far. Are they looking at the old tube or CRT, those cathode ray tubes that we looked at for TVs? Oh, no, we don't have that anymore. We have TVs that are flat screen, half inch thick, and they're 70 inches wide. And there's no kid standing here with aluminum foil on his ears holding his hand up so dad can, by the way, somebody said, did you have remote control when you were a kid? I said, yeah, my dad smacked me in the head and said, change the damn channel, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we look at that as we see all that technology, that stuff that didn't exist and people really didn't think about. although some people say that Star Trek did, if you remember the old Star Trek episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we see that. And Tom, when you go onto the Internet, do you just go out there and say, hello, Internet? No, no, we hop out using a personal computer versus thing. And so this is all technological advances that have changed literally the world, and in my opinion, has some proof to the supply side economics. So the technology that's out there is fantastic. We can look at technology from a biotechnology standpoint. Heck, Tom, you lose your ear because of the dangerous job that you have. Your ear falls off one day inside of your headphone. They can grow a new ear on the side of your head and put it on. I mean, so we can do these sort of things. We can grow new tissues and cells. We have stem cell research. We have all this sort of technologies happening around us. And so that technology then continues to fuel all the things that we do. And one of the things we should look at when investing and saying, hey, where are some good places that we see some good technological advances that we think are going to propel that company, that industry, that part of our lives that it can make a big difference coming out into the future?
Well, I guess that's part of what I wanted to talk about, you know, but I was looking at it from the standpoint of how has the hardware itself, or software for that matter, changed the way you do your job and changed the way who do their own investing do their jobs as opposed to the way it was done before.
Boy, from an investing standpoint, this really is amazing. And I think you and I talked about this off of the air once before, but let's go ahead and do it. I had a client that was an absolute first for me in this past week. And Bill, he usually listens, so Bill, here you are. I'm going to tell your story. Obviously, I won't say his last name. When I started out in this business, folks, you know, I started out in the day that you could literally call on a phone, and Tom, I could pick up the phone and talk to 100 people in the city of Wausau and say, hi, my name is Merle Kelch. Bob, I'd love to sell you some stock. And he says, sure, what about the stock? Is it okay, here you go. Here's 100 shares of XYZ Corporation. I think it's going to be fantastic for you. He says, all right, I'll buy that. So I then enter in on a peeper ticket. Actually, I write in a book Bob's name, and I make up a fake number. For an account number, I write down that Bob bought 100 shares. I write it down on the paper ticket. We'd have to take that ticket, and we'd have to call it into a trader, to a trade desk. That trade desk would say, okay, Bob made up number, account number such and such. Here's the trading ticket. Bob now owns 100 shares. I then had 5 days to go to Bob to get that money. So I had 5 days to collect that dollar, to settle the trade, was the term was used. Now 3 days, by the way. And you don't do the trade, then collect the money anymore.
yes, just so, like most things, you collect the money up front.
So those are the changes. Yeah. All of a sudden we thought it was fantastic that we could actually go through and we could call a trader and say, we need an account number. Here's the information for the person. We could call it in. They'd give us an actual account number. We didn't have to come back to the original manifesto. We didn't have to come back and redo it and put in new numbers with the actual ones. We could do the direct account number. Then all of a sudden it became absolutely fantastic when we didn't have to write all these huge journals anymore. We could actually use a computer to do the journals, one of the last things that happened. Otherwise, in our industry, folks, you have to keep these journals not only by client name, you have to keep a journal of investments that you've used, and you have to keep a journal of every investment that you do in chronological order per day. Well, imagine the amount of time you could save when you could have a computer do all that stuff. And so we've seen all that progression finally to the point where we could actually start doing trading on our own. You know, if we had enough experience in the industry and your broker-dealer thought you could do so, you could actually enter in the trade to buy or sell something live on your computer at the office. We thought, wow, this is some fantastic stuff. Then we progressed to having Wi-Fi, where we could actually do progressions or trades on our laptop wherever we were, anywhere in the world, as long as we could have a secure connection. And then finally, last week, my client Bill, actually 2 weeks ago now, had the first that I've ever done along the way, and that was we had actually sold and purchased some stock as I was driving down the road in the passenger seat of my truck. So we can actually drive down the road and purchase stock, bonds, mutual funds on your iPad is actually what I use, and not a solicitation for iPad, though I like them a great deal, driving down the road. And so that's where technology in our industry is just absolutely makes it so it flies. I can remember when I started out in this business that you'd have to create a statement for your client because they'd want a summary where their investments were. It didn't exist. And I had two full-time people at one particular point in time in my world that did nothing more than to call companies, get all the dividends, call companies as far as the capital gain distributions, add them into the spreadsheet that we'd had for the stocks. We'd have the spreadsheet and have everything ready to go. We hand to the client saying, okay, here's how much you made. You know, did pretty well, poor, bad, good, but here's where your investments are. And they're like, oh, this is just the greatest thing in the world. And now if you did that, the FINRA, which is our regulating body in this thing, they want to put handcuffs on you because you're making up a statement. And the reason is is that almost all brokers have the ability to go to a computer, push a button, and have a SEC and FINRA regulated site that has everything actually calculated the way they want it to be calculated that you can print out for your clients. So gone are the days where you had to say, geez, I can't tell you what you have because it's going to take me 2 days to get this stuff ready. Now you can see a person in the parking lot before they walk in, you have the report printed. And so the progression from that standpoint, from a reportive standpoint, aside from the information, I'll talk about that in a second, but that progression has really led to our industry being able to do stuff faster, quicker, and considerably more accurate than it used to be before. Now, the other part of that is you now have 15 pages of regulations that a client has to sign proving that you actually told them this stuff exists.
Well, I would imagine with that, you have more time then to do more analyzation and do more work on that end.
I think the investment process today is a lot better than it used to be. When I was in college, folks, a long time ago, my investment portfolio, my investment class, I was fortunate that our professor was really, really good at this business. He really knew what he was doing and really taught me a lot. I'm so indebted to him for that. But we'd have to go through and choose a stock portfolio and put one together, and we had to have a certain measure of risk or a certain beta-weighted average of the stock portfolio. We had he wanted us to have a portfolio, have a certain dividend ratio on the inside. And what he was doing is teaching us how to look for all the stuff. Well, what we'd have to do, Tom, is we went to our library at University of Wisconsin, Whitewater, and let me make sure I throw them out a plug. And in there were 15 volumes of 6 inches each of every stock and every mutual fund that exists in the world on a paper-thin page. It looks like parchment from Harry Potter. You have to look at the stuff, and you have to go through the books by SIC number, SIC, the industry codes, and you're having to look through this sort of stuff to pick the individual stocks and so forth that you want to. It took a really long time,
right,
but one of the best things I've ever done. And just as I was leaving college, this company called Lotus, if you've ever heard of Lotus 1-2-3, that company took all this data and information and put it on a set of 5 discs. And we thought, this is incredible. All this information is going to be fast. Well, though we could get the disc, it was so expensive, nobody could ever buy it. Well, now we have that information at our fingertips, folks, where we can just go click and have it done. One of my favorites is using the Morningstar programs. Now, this is a different Morningstar that you're going to find, folks, if you go online. But using Morningstar, I have the ability to go through all 15,000 mutual funds and put my filters of what I want it to look like. I could put filters in there, for example, saying what's the turnover, the taxable about that gets distributed out to clients inside of that portfolio. By the way, if you're taking a look at your taxes now, you now know what I mean by the amount of taxes that are distributed for mutual funds. Looks like it could be near record year of capital gain distributions going out of the mutual fund industry. So we can put that constraint in there. We can put in there that we want a portfolio manager that's been there for at least 5 years. We can say we want the portfolio that produces the best on the way up and does the best on the way down. We can put all these constraints to it and let the computer do the work in a matter of seconds. We find a list of a half a dozen or a dozen different mutual funds or different stocks that meets whatever this criteria is. And that stuff didn't exist before. And so this is also where I say it's really a good idea when you work with somebody, work with a financial advisor that knows a lot of this information, unless you're going to spend a lot of time and training yourself figuring this stuff out. Otherwise, you get stuck with all the advertising that's out there. And, of course, the advertising always says we're the world's greatest everything. We're the best at everything that we do. And you don't know unless you have some sort of an additional information or idea about it. But that computer software today, just better, and I think it makes this industry better when we construct portfolios and so forth.
All right, 715-845-2155. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more. Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau, making financial sense. Give us a call. We'll be right back on WSAU.
Today to ask people about marriage.
For starters, what's the best thing about being married?
Who I get to stay married to.
Togetherness.
To me, is having a companion.
My favorite thing about being married is that I have a partner.
Do you think your marriage is good for more than just the two of you?
Influence those around us.
Yeah, I think.
In a positive way.
I think so.
I would hope that people would see that when we're together that we really have a very true affection for each other.
What everybody wants, and we know we're lucky to have it.
The energy we give out in our home, I think, spreads out to other people.
Your marriage just continues to go on and on and on.
Oh, sure, and affect generations after us.
I think it really sort of stabilizes your whole community. It's the cornerstone of a society, right?
Sounds like a good marriage goes a long way.
It touches a lot of people.
Want to improve your marriage? For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Hey, it's Demi Lovato.
And I'm Joe Jonas.
There's so much in the world to celebrate. The movies have their night to honor the best of film.
The finest athletes compete for the podium.
Musicians have their time to shine. But how do we honor the kids who are making a difference?
With We Day, filling stadiums around the world to celebrate the good that young people do.
Follow We Day on Twitter and Facebook.
With each follow, school supplies will be given to a child overseas.
We Day.
Join the movement.
It's Practical Polly Radio. I've switched to cooking with healthier oils. So now what do I do with all these tubs of lard? Skinny jeans feeling too tight? A bit of lard on your hips and thighs and those pants slide on like a dream. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa. Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web on WSAU and WSAU.com.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. Phone lines are open, 715-845-2155. Let's go to the phone this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Hey, this is Ed from down in Bancroft.
Hey, Ed, you're on with Merle. Go ahead.
Morning, Ed.
Good morning, sir. I have a capital gains question for you.
Okay.
I have a piece of property that I'm considering selling here in the near future, and I know I'm going to have to pay a considerable amount of capital gains on it, but I also have another piece of property that I would like to buy.
Okay.
What's the best way to handle that?
Okay, a couple of things. Ed, how old are you?
I am approaching 50.
Okay, approaching 50. That's a fantastic age, by the way.
Well,
a lot of my best friends are that age.
Well, that's good.
Ed, there's one of the things you can do in here, and it's commonly called a Starker exchange or a 1031 exchange.
Okay.
And what it allows you to do is exchange like property for no capital gain. Now, that being said, there's a couple of rules that go in here, and the Internal Revenue Code is 1031 or Section 1031, 1031. But you have to identify what you want to purchase prior to selling. So this is where you want to get an attorney involved to make sure it's done right. Now, the property you're selling, what did you use that property for? What type of property was it?
It's agricultural.
So were you renting it or working it?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
I rented it some years, and some years I worked it myself.
All right. And then the property you want to buy is for?
Basically the same purpose.
Okay. Well, now you have a like-kind exchange. So
okay.
In here you have the ability to say, I want to purchase B, but I want to sell A. So what I'd get a hold of a real estate attorney. There's a number of attorneys that will be able to do this. This is something that's relatively simplistic, not that complex. You have to identify the property you want to purchase, and then getting in the middle of that, you then have the ability to go buy and sell your property and take that money and buy the new property, no capital gain as a result. But make sure you see your attorney ahead of time, okay?
Okay.
Well, I hope that helps out, and let us know if it works for you.
Yeah, Deb, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 715-845-2155. Well, as long as we're talking about capital gains, and you said there's going to be a lot of capital gains distributions this year for
mm-hmm.
people's mutual funds, I guess what is the best way to, and, you know, we all want to pay our fair share of taxes, but not more than that. So what are some things that people can do if they're going to get a big bite of capital gains? Where can they, what are some of the moves they can make?
Well, if you don't want to pay capital gains, you should see smart, intelligent, very attractive financial advisors
to
help you.
All right, and what would that person, without giving any inside secrets away, what would that person want you to do?
A couple of different things. You know, first of all, we're probably going to see some record capital gains coming out of mutual funds. Mutual funds, folks, and I'm not talking about mutual funds and IRAs. IRAs are fine. You don't have to worry about IRAs for capital gain distributions. But for mutual funds that are outside of IRAs, you're going to have some capital gain distributions. Why is that? Because the mutual fund that you purchased, they bought the widget company at $10 a share. It went up to $20 per share, which is what we want to have happen, by the way. But it hits $20 a share. They sell it. Guess who pays the capital gains tax on that transaction? well, Tom, it doesn't go magically to where I'm the universe, and the mutual fund manager says, well, Tom's a great guy. We're going to pay the tax for him. It gets distributed to you and I as investors in the form of capital gain. They determine whether it's going to be long-term or short-term capital gain. And because of the run-up in the marketplace, this happens over the course of the last few years here, we're seeing just a bunch of capital gains being distributed. Those capital gain distributions usually happen inside of December and usually inside of March in two different places. So with it, a whole bunch of them last year. For 2013, folks, too late. You're paying the taxes. How do you reduce your taxes? Well, hopefully you had the ability to contribute some money inside of an IRA, a traditional IRA, or something of this nature, to try to drop that income a little bit, because otherwise you really can't do too much anymore to go back and retrofit or fix 2013. But if you look at this and go, holy cow. Now, we just had this. One of our clients came and he says, well, Merle, I just see that I had a capital gain distribution of $19,000. Where's the money? Hold it. So it happens that those capital gain distributions come out, then they get repurchased back into additional shares. And so what happens is, yes, did you get the distribution? Uh-huh. Did it make your value go up? Uh-uh. It didn't. Why? Because the share price went down the instant the distribution was paid. Then you bought additional shares of the money and brought the value back up again. So you're in the same place you started, except you get the privilege of paying taxes on that $19,000 distribution.
But you have more shares.
But you have more shares, but the value of the share price went down to compensate for the amount of the distribution. So you now have more shares participating in the rise, which is just fine as time goes on. But basically the reason that transaction occurs is so that we have the ability as investors to pay the taxes on that $19,000. Now people are going, well, crap, I got to pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 of tax on that capital gain, and I didn't get anything in my hand. I'm like, uh-huh. So let's take a look and make sure that what you're doing is more tax efficient than anything else. See, folks, we can own, for example, a large cap growth fund that pays us 12%. We can own one of those, for example, by the way. We can own a mutual fund that pays us a 12% rate of return over the course of the years, but it pays out a capital gain distribution that would, say, before the 12% that we'd have to pay taxes on. Or we could buy a large cap distribution or large cap mutual fund that pays us out or gives us a return to about 12% that pays a 1% capital gain distribution. Which one's better? Well, the one with the lesser capital gains. Why? Because we have to pay less taxes on it as a result. So when we have a expanding marketplace as we have right now, it's not that big of a deal. But now think about it, Tom, if the marketplace in 2013 went down and our $10,000 of mutual funds we had in the beginning of the year is now $8,000 and we had to pay $2,000 worth of tax. Well, we lost money and had to pay taxes on them. Isn't that great?
No.
It's not. Okay, so we need to make sure that our mutual funds are tax efficient, again, for accounts that are not inside of IRAs. Those mutual funds, the easiest measure to find, and there are many, but the easiest measure to find is a thing called turnover. We've talked about it on here, but on this program again, but here it is. Inside of a mutual fund, if we have a mutual fund that we've invested our money into and keeping it for easy math, folks, we're going to say it's a $100 million mutual fund. By the way, that'd be very, very small in the mutual fund world. But if we had our money invested with everybody else into a mutual fund that was $100 million, excuse me, and our portfolio manager bought and sold, say, $70 million worth of stock in that mutual fund, it would be said that we'd have a 70% turnover. See the math? Mm-hmm. Pretty simple. We want to try to have mutual funds that have a turnover at about 25% or less if we can. Less turnover, less taxes, but it doesn't affect the gain generally. Okay? So now is the time we start looking at saying, where did we pay a lot of money in capital gains tax? And as you're doing your taxes, it will become very evident on where those are.
And that's a number you can see on your mutual fund statement.
You will see it directly on your taxes. It'll say capital gain distribution. You'll look at this and go, I have to pay taxes on what? My account didn't change. I have to pay taxes? Those are the questions that are going to start popping in your head. And if you see those, seek a financial advisor and talk about that and making sure that those mutual funds that are not inside of IRAs have some turnover. Now, if your portfolio is just way too large, like, folks, Tom King here is worth at least $1.5 billion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
$1.5 billion. Pennies, maybe? I'm not really checking. But if we had a large portfolio and we have a lot of capital gains tax as a result of distribution, even though we have low turnover, now we got to look at a couple of other things. You know, so now we can look at it and say, do we want to take some of this growth and taxes and defer it, perhaps using variable annuities or annuities of some sort? Do we want to take some of this tax that's coming out there? Do we need to shift some of this to municipal accounts, such as municipal bonds that are insured, which I like, insured for principal and interest, so thereby those dividends are tax-free? Do we want to do something to try to reduce that tax burden? Do we want to use something that's more exotic to give us different types of write-offs against our adjusted gross income or give us tax credits back? So then we have some tax planning as the portfolio is larger, and we're starting to have some taxes on it. We need to get some controlling done.
I guess that's one good thing about not having a big portfolio is you don't have to worry about problems.
Look
like
at the
this.
Stress you're saving in your lifetime.
All right. We're going to take a break for some news. We'll come back with more. Merle Kelch is here to take your questions. 715-845-2155. Back in a moment on WSAU.
Child home safely.
Tap your heels together 3 times.
It's just a click away.
There is no place like home.
But making sure your child is in the right seat is just one of the steps down the road to safer travels.
I don't know how it works.
Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. There's no better way to get home safely. Know for sure that your child is in the right seat.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Get all the facts at safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
News now from AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
I'm Tom King, WSAU News. The scope of the nation's intelligence gathering activities will be limited. Yesterday, President Obama said he's ordering an end to the National Security Agency's metadata storage of Americans' phone records. The president defended U.S. surveillance efforts but said a new approach is needed. He stressed that reforms will include greater transparency. He also reassured people that their rights to privacy are being protected. An International Atomic Energy Agency team is ready to start working in Iran. The group arrived in Tehran today as part of the nuclear deal being reached between 6 global powers. The semi-official Fars news agency reports the members will begin making reports to the IAEA on Monday. 2 Sheboygan Falls high school basketball players had a 1-game suspension lifted by school officials after they were suspected of flashing gang signs in a newspaper photo. The family of Jordan and Juwan Jackson challenged the suspension, which was lifted in time for them to play last night. Sheboygan Falls lost the game. A school committee held a closed-door hearing yesterday attended by Jackson's parents, and the boys' suspensions were lifted during that proceeding. They denied flashing gang signs for their recent pose in the Sheboygan Press. They said they were giving a hand signal used by basketball stars to celebrate a successful 3-point shot. In sports, the Brewers signed Juan Francisco and Marco Estrada to 1-year deals yesterday, avoiding salary arbitration. And some of the world's fastest snowmobile racers competing in Eagle River this weekend, the 51st annual AMSOIL World Championships. The feature race set for 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Racing going on throughout today as well. The Newsline 9 weather forecast, look for snow showers and a high of 17 today. Cold tonight, a low going down to 0. Sunday, a chance of a few snow showers, especially in the Northwoods, high of 25. Monday, look for colder conditions, a few snow showers possible, and a high of 8 above. That's news and weather. I'm Tom King, Central Wisconsin's Fox News Station, WSAU.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie.
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kind of want to know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin's Jerry Bader.
School districts are coming back into the water. What water is that? The water of referenda. I'm not going to comment on each an individual one, but my position in all of these, to one degree or another, have maintenance items. You know my position on this. It's reckless management of any entity, including a school district, not to deal with maintenance in an ongoing fashion.
The Jerry Bader Show, mornings at 9 on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
And we are back in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch and Associates in Wausau.
Folks, the opinions... Let's try this.
Try it again.
All right. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Folks, this show contains forward-looking statements which may not come true. Securities and Investment Advisory Services offered through HPEC Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. HPEC Incorporated and Kelsey & Associates are unaffiliated companies, and folks, this program is intended for Wisconsin residents only.
All right, let's go back to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Jim.
Hey, Jim, you're on with Merle. Go ahead.
Morning, Jim.
Morning, Merle. Merle, I appreciate your program. It's very informative.
Thank you so much.
Merle, what about master limited partnerships? I've heard you should not have them inside a deferred compensation if you have the election to go into those. Or what's your opinion on master limited partnerships?
Well, I think MLPs are like anything else. You have to know what you're buying. You know, there's some master limited partnerships that have been out there that have been fantastic, really have made some money, especially inside of the oil and gas pipelining. And if you're familiar with master partnerships, you can probably tell somebody I'm referencing to. Some of the problems with master limited partnerships is that somebody else is controlling it more than just a board of directors, and so that's where some of the trouble comes in. And some of the master limited partnerships, somebody could change your mind and on a dime and do something different, and that's where some of the problems come. Now, I don't know if all MLPs, but I believe some of them also pay out K-1s, and that kind of becomes a pain for qualified dollars or IRAs and that type of stuff, your deferred vehicles. So I think it's more in that than any of the investments. We certainly have bought master limited partnerships inside of IRA accounts, and there's never been an issue with it by any means. But we're also doing it inside of pure brokerage accounts versus buying them direct, and I don't know if that's helping or making any sense.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Buying them direct, I think it could probably be a real pain, but buying them inside of a brokerage account, they have to be standardized, normal accounting rules, et cetera, et cetera. And so we've never had an issue with it inside of those.
Thank you.
All right, thanks
for
the call.
You're very welcome, sir.
715-845-2155. Earlier we were talking about how technology has changed the way you do your job and the way investors can handle investments. On the big level, when you're talking about the major players on Wall Street, mm-hmm. There's been talk that, and I would imagine there's always been talk, that they have built-in advantages. And now with the supercomputers and how quickly trades are made, there are those who say they have an even bigger advantage, that they're able to do things so much faster than the average investor, mm-hmm. that they're able to time the market better, they're able to take advantage of things in the market better.
Yep.
Is that a problem?
I don't think it is. It's always been there. We've always had that spread, or they'll call them spreads, different price differential between, say, a price that you're asking or price that you're selling or what the option price might be for the underlying stock. They've always been there. They're just faster now, faster and quicker. I think that the computers have allowed our marketplace to be much more efficient from that standpoint. We can do, everything with a snap of a button, and we can have the stuff done. Now, we saw a couple of times where that has been a problem. One of them, we take a look back, was it last year, I think it was, or the year before, where the stock market just dropped 1,000 points in an instant simply because nobody knew, and it was basically a computer glitch that occurred. So we're going to see some of those types of things happen. We can see some problems that happened back in 1987 where the volume of our portfolio, or the volume of the stock market, was getting so high that the computer systems as of that date couldn't keep up. So we'll see some of those things, but I like the efficiencies that stock market has brought us. Now, the immediate arbitrage that occurs, looking for that spreads between different stuff with computers, happens all the time. It's been happening, since we've been alive, Tom. Remember, the NASDAQ stands for National Association of Automated Computer Quotations. It's been around since the 70s. So with it, all this stuff has been around, but computers, in my opinion, have made it so it's just much more efficient and quicker when you're doing it. And I think with that speed and that efficiency, remember, the people are trying to take advantage of it. Are trying to take advantage of something fast, and the people who are building the stuff are trying to make it so that they can't take advantage of it fast. But the bottom line is we all have the ability to trade stuff faster, quicker, easier. Without computers, we wouldn't have things such as ETFs, exchange-traded funds. We wouldn't have the ability to do those very quickly. Even with that, we had talked about, folks, on the break, Bitcoin wouldn't exist without without computer systems.
Yeah, let's talk about Bitcoin a little bit, because obviously there are many people who invest in currencies, whether it be dollars or yen or EU coins. EU currency. And Bitcoin is the latest currency, and I use quotation marks because I guess I'm not that familiar. I've heard of Bitcoin. I've heard somebody made a lot of money already investing in Bitcoin at a certain price and then selling them for a much inflated price.
Sure.
I guess explain for the folks who don't know what Bitcoin is a little bit, what your understanding of how it works and where we're going with this
sure.
as far as an online sure. currency.
I'm a novice at Bitcoin myself. I mean, I've read articles about it. I've read a number of things, so I do not by any means have it mastered, so I don't want to claim that. But I can tell you how the old way works versus the new way. And in two different instances, by the way. One of them, Tom, if I want to buy a widget machine that's sitting right now inside of Japan, and I want to write a check out of my checkbook, and it's got to go to Japan, well, first of all, how does that company know they're going to get it? And how do they know what price you're going to get it? Because they want it in yen, and I want to give it to them in dollars. So we have to go through this whole exchange rate. I'll probably have to talk to my bank, which will talk to their bank. We exchange what's called letters of credit so that we have an agreement on what the price is going to be, the exchange rate, and so forth, so the banks will take it back and forth. Essentially, I write my check to my bank. They write their check to that bank then deposits in their accounts. They've got to have this letter of credit. Letter of credit, all this exchange gets done. Probably it takes a week to maybe even 2 weeks to get that transaction finished. Well, a gentleman by the name of Satoshi Nakamoto, Irish fellow, in 2009 created this digital currency called Bitcoin, which has within it its own security. Somebody has to say, okay, if you're going to pay something in Bitcoin, somebody has to confirm and timestamp that it is accurate. The next person to confirm and timestamp that it is accurate to make sure that the Bitcoins are back and forth. So I could simply take from my account where I had acquired some Bitcoins, and I could pay the person in Japan for the Bitcoins. They send it, then they exchange your Bitcoins for current currency, or they keep it in Bitcoin and use it for whatever they're going to purchase in Bitcoin. And it takes all that out instantly. It becomes a digital solution. There's no week and a half to 2 weeks, and you don't get the bank fees, et cetera, in the middle.
Where does the Bitcoin get its value? How is it created? It's not created by the Federal Reserve. It's not created by any government, right?
In there is some of the reasoning that the governments don't like Bitcoin. For example, China just recently said, well, you can do Bitcoin. We're all right with that, but it has to only be inside of U.S. I'm sorry, it can only be in the yuan and the Chinese currency. You can't do anything more. It can only exchange in that value if you're going to exchange it. One of the other big parts of that is Bitcoin has been used inside of the illicit drug and illegal trades because they can simply electronically transfer value back and forth using Bitcoin. And, you know, nobody knows because it's all digital, it's all secure, all
so hidden. So there's actually no hard and fast thing that you could hold in your hand.
No.
A bag full of Bitcoins.
No.
It's all just ones and zeros on a computer screen.
It is, very much so. If you think about it, we used to have the gold system. We then switched to what's called the fiat system where we have paper money, and this doesn't even have the paper. So it's really progressed.
So what's what's backing it? I mean, the currency we use is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government or the Federal Reserve. What's backing Bitcoin?
Again, questions I don't necessarily know the answer to.
It just seems to me to be built on a house of sand, and eventually it's going to be like a Ponzi scheme, and the cards will all fall down.
There has to be some sort of an exchange that goes on back and forth, and I don't know the answer to this. If somebody does and can tell me, that'd be fantastic. Let us know here in the show. But one thing that did happen here about a month ago is that a Tesla was purchased online with Bitcoin. The transaction took minutes. To have the whole thing finished up and done, person picked up their car. So that is also the first time it's ever happened, knowingly using a electronic non-currency denomination such as Bitcoin to buy a car online. People never even stopped in the showroom. So kind of interesting how it happened. My next question would be, is I wonder if that was an illicit drug trade person who bought the car.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. So,
well, you would think that...
Bitcoin, is it a good idea to have a digital currency that goes around the globe back and forth? I don't know if I like the idea. I think I do. But I don't know if our governmental bodies are going to like it, as we had talked about before, because how do you manipulate the currency up and down to help your trade from a country standpoint? And at the same time, how do you know where to collect the taxes from on Bitcoins?
And control inflation and all the other things that you do with a normal currency.
Precisely. And so this may be an idea that is coming. I don't know if it's an idea that's come to full fruit yet.
Well, if you watch the science fiction TV show Almost Human, where the human cop is partnered with a robot cop in the future, they in that version of the future, they use Bitcoin to make their regular purchases.
Sure. And I think they need to have a different name than Bitcoin. I mean, there's something wrong with the name, I think.
All right. 715-845-2155 is the number to call. We need to take a break. We'll come back with more. The phone lines are open. If you have a question for Merle about your portfolio, give us a call. We'll be right back on WSAU.
Attention men, are you urinating often, waking at night to urinate? We want to send you a free bottle of Super Beta Prostate, made with a natural ingredient that supports healthy urine flow, bladder emptying, and is shown to reduce waking at night from the urge to urinate. You can try Super Beta Prostate free. Only pay shipping and handling. This free giveaway is available while supplies last. For details, just call 800-531-4902. That's 800-531-4902. Call 800-531-4902.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm place on a cool day.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
My dad came to live with us last month, and, you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Things we consider local gems, and we happen to dig up a couple for you.
Colorado had their big weed fest. Now, this is for recreational use. It's not just for medical marijuana.
Yes. They've small amounts of personal use.
Now, that's when I went, well, wait a minute. Something doesn't smell right.
Seth Mila, Tom King, we think you'll dig them too. The WSAU Wisconsin Morning News. WSAU.
And we're back here in the studio, 715-845-2155. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call. Don't forget Badger basketball coming your way later today. Pre-game show at 4 o'clock as the Badgers take on Michigan. There's an article on MarketWatch this morning from Mark Hulbert, one of the regular columnists there, talking about his belief, or at least he finds, that there are some signs that the market is overbought. I guess lay that on us here and whether or not you agree with his take on the situation.
You know, in his article, it's called Six Ratios That Say This Market Is Very Overbought. And, folks, if you're listening to it and you think the stock market is too high, great article to read because he goes through the ratios and numbers and talks about where they are comparative to where the marketplaces have been since, the last 35 bull market tops since 1900s, if they go back quite a bit. A lot of the information is standardized to make sure it's all in the same place, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he goes through all of them, and I'm just going to simply talk about them quickly. Price-to-earnings ratio, a cyclical adjusted P.E. ratio, dividend yield, price-to-sales ratio, price-to-book ratio, and then what's called the Q ratio, which is considerably better than the R ratio, which comes just... I'm just making up the R ratio, by the way.
You just see if we're paying attention or what?
That's right, the Q ratio. But anyway, what it goes through is it talks about, we've talked about on this program before, that the stock market is towards the higher range. And I had said before that we have this range that goes up and down. And so in that range, we get to the higher end of the range, to the lower end of the range, and the market seems to keep going back and forth. And that range has to continue to keep moving forward. And that's the big question is it? If we just look at this range itself of where we are, where we're sitting at the Dow right now, was it 16,490, I think it was. I'm going from memory on this one. So if we look at that and say, is that at the higher end of the range? My answer is absolutely it is. But what's the range doing becomes a question. So we look through, and this is coming back from Brian Westbury from First Trust Data, who's one of my favorite economists out of Chicago. His conversation is that if we take a look a year ago, what were we all talking about in this world? We're all saying, geez, it looks like real estate has really hit the bottom and is really starting to come back around again. Real estate, we're starting to build houses. Real estate is coming around. We look at what's called ISM numbers, which is Institute for Supply Side Management. Look at the expansion of what's happening for not only business but non-business payrolls. We look at payrolls starting to come back. The economy continues to expand. And on this, I think that if we even look at housing, and there's a ratio that he talks about called the price-to-rents ratio, which shows the price of the house versus the rents that you get, and is it a ratio? Average is about 15, and we're like at about 14.7, which means that largely housing, real estate housing, is fairly priced at the moment. It's not in a bubble scenario by any means. So we look at the fact that real estate's not in a bubble, much as it was back in 2007, 2008, before it came crashing down. We take a look at real estate and outside of a bubble, and we continue to have an expansive economy. I think that our range, though we're at the top part of it right now, I think our range continues to keep moving up because we're inside of an expansive economy yet, and we haven't given ourselves enough time. I think we see some evidence on this that the market feels the same place, because we can see this past week we had a down day of 100 and some points as the marketplace went down because we had some economic data that people weren't sure about and they were worried about earnings. Well, 2 days later, the earnings come around, and guess what? We're just fine. So with it, do we have some sort of correction in the marketplace? Yeah, we always do, and we shall. But right now, the reasoning people think that we're going to drop off some 31%, which is when we have these great big peaks, that's been the average drop-off that we've had. It was as we were entering into a recessive type of an economy, and I don't see a recessive type of an economy, and most other people don't. People who just simply look at where are we as far as a ratio goes or a number says the market's too high. Well, within that ratio and where we're looking at within that range, I think that we are, but we're not too high coming into a recessionary environment. We're high coming into an expansive economy, in my opinion. And with that, having an expansive economy, we should continue to see that range continue to move forward a bit as time comes along in the short term here over the course of, say, like next 24 months or so.
715-845-2155. We still have a few minutes. If you have a question from Earl, give us a call. A couple of big shows in the last couple of weeks. You had the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, which always unveils all of the new tech. Not the one particular big item out there that everybody was hot and heavy for this year from there. And then, of course, the Detroit Auto Show.
Yep.
Detroit may be not as prevalent as they once were, but certainly the Detroit Auto Show is still the place to see the hot new cars. Do you have a chance to check either one of those events?
I have not had a chance to even look at the information. I've never been to either one of them live, but I've not had a chance to see all the new stuff. I know that the Microsoft tablet that turns into a laptop,
oh, yeah,
and the progressions on that, uh-huh, very big again. We had talked about it once before, having the ability to have the use and the ease of a pad, and having the ability to have the computing power for it, too. I knew that was really good inside of the electronics show, but I have not read about any of the cool new stuff that they have coming about. A couple of new cars to see from a concept that I think are really neat. They have one out there, the Volkswagen Dune, which looks to be one heck of a vehicle. Why is it when we look at the, you know, the concept cars, Tom, they always have, you know, 2 inches of rubber and 45 inches of wheel, but when they come out to actually go on the road, they always look so much different. Those big wheels always look cool to me.
Well, that VW Dune, it almost looks like a sports car. Of course, VW has tried, you know, zippy little sports cars before it on a very basic level when you're talking
about
the Rabbit and the Jettas and the but this thing, are those one of those rocket launchers off the back of that thing or superchargers? What are those?
You know, Tom, if you were a surfer like me, you'd know that's for your surfboard.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I surf quite a bit. And
yeah, I'm sure
there,
you do.
I get out there regularly and surf out on the Willow Forge.
Yeah, I could never picture you on a surfboard. As far as the tech goes, though, I was going to share this earlier when we were talking about technology. Somebody tweeted an old Radio Shack ad from the 1980s. Mm-hmm. It was a full-page magazine ad that had about 20 different products advertised like they mm-hmm. normally do. All 20 of separate products had functions that are now available on your phone.
Isn't that amazing? just absolutely
another
amazing.
Calculator, you know, CB radio, weather forecaster, on and on and on.
Yeah,
all of them were available now on your phone. And as you mentioned,
I'm really laughing as you're saying this because it's so true. I mean, the phone.
As you mentioned, the iPhone I'm holding in my hand right now has more computing power than the computers that control the space shuttle or control the moon.
By far. Then the apps that are out there are just absolutely incredible. As a matter of fact, I just saw an app, and not that I think this is a good idea, but I thought it was interesting. There's an app that you download for wine, and you just walk up to the store and you just take a picture of the label. It recognizes the label using optical character recognition, takes a look at the label, and then it tells you what the ratings are for that wine to see if it's a good one or a bad one. If you're a wine connoisseur, that would be fantastic. By the way, the app works great.
There are so many choices, it's hard to keep track of them.
Well, and there's so many things you have to try.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to try new wines and that whole bit. By the time I get 6 or 8 bottles into this, my day's shot.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
And I'd get that in by lunch.
Luckily, we're out of time, and you can go start doing that and working on your Saturday right now. If folks want to get a hold of you on Monday, how can they do that?
Folks, Monday morning, matter of fact, Dr. Martin Luther King Day.
Market's closed, right?
The market is indeed closed, but we will be in the office. My staff is really upset with me that they have to work on a national holiday. We'll be in the office on 3rd Avenue and Bridge Street. Stop on in, see if you can catch us with a cup of coffee. We do have appointments, but see if you can find us. If you want to say hello, stop on in. Give us a call, 715-849-3600 here in lovely Wausau. Outside of the Wausau area at 866-355-5100, or find us online at KelchandAssociates.com.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week.
We'll see you then, brother.
Earl Kelch, Kelch and Associates in Wausau. It's coming up on 9 o'clock. The news is next, followed by the Polka Shows, and then later today, Badger Basketball. Badgers and Michigan pregame show right here at 4 o'clock on WSAU.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
News, talk, sports. WSAU Wausau, WSAU FM, Rudolph, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Wisconsin.
News Ready Go, I'm Pam Puso. Across California, residents are being urged to go easy on their water taps.
We're facing perhaps the worst drought that California has ever seen.
Governor Jerry Brown declaring a statewide drought emergency as firefighters get the upper hand on a wildfire burning outside Los Angeles that's charred 5 homes. It's 30% contained. For some in West Virginia, they're still waiting for a green light to turn on the tap following a chemical spill last week.
A mountain of lawsuits now faces Freedom Industries, the company that owns the chemical storage tank whose leak contaminated the water supply for 300,000 in West Virginia. They've now filed for bankruptcy.